Look to your neighbor and say, I'm glad you're here today. Even if it is your spouse, I'm glad you're here today. I'm glad you're here today. Oh, my. Oh, well, I can tell you your pastor's tired. He's looking forward to a nap this afternoon. We were at the hospital all day yesterday for my wife's procedure. We got there at 10 o'clock, and we left at 10 o'clock. It was a long, long day. But the Lord has something special for you. The Lord knows what you have need of before you ask. And He's laid a message on my heart. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I love you so much. And I know that you love us so much. And Lord, I know you want to talk to us now. In Sunday school, we heard, Lord, about Jeremiah. You desired to put your words in his mouth. Lord, I want you to put your words in my mouth. Hide me behind the cross. Lord, you speak to your people today. They are yours. They belong to you. And I want you to speak to their hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I've met quite a few people through the years who go through life, it seems, with this cloud of condemnation over them. Doesn't seem to make any difference what they do or how obedient they are to the Lord. The feeling still stays with them. Sometimes they don't know what it is or why they feel so defeated in their spiritual life. I can tell you, as Scotty and I and Lauren and Goldie, there's some that attended the same church that I attended to when I was growing up. There was times, many times, I felt very discouraged in my walk with the Lord, because there's different things in life you battle. There's different sins you try to overcome. And when you find yourself repeatedly doing the same things, you get discouraged and ashamed, I might add. And then the devil wants you to feel like you're no good, that God can't forgive you. After all, how many times have you been doing this? Huh? You feel like you're the same one? You feel like you're similar to my feelings as well? How many times did the Lord tell Peter he was to forgive? Does anyone remember? 70 times 7. So who's our math wizard here? Who tells? How much is that? Do you really think that's how many times you should forgive? So what was he teaching? Anyone? Always. That's the word I'm looking for. Always. Wow. So, if we're to forgive one another always, I know that my Heavenly Father always forgives me. Now, if you have trouble forgiving somebody, the Lord said that's how it works with Him and you. Think about that. You need to forgive one another. You want your Heavenly Father to forgive you? Yes, I do. Then you need to forgive one another. That's the way it works. No options. Swallow your pride and do it. It's not always easy, but you need to always learn to forgive. God has never intended for us to live that way. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, it says, "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." Do you know what it means to be in Christ Jesus? If you're here today and you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're in Christ Jesus. If you've asked him to forgive you of your sins and invited him to live in your heart, you are in Christ Jesus. He is your Savior, and I trust that he's more than just a Savior. I hope he's Lord. You see, just a Savior is somewhat an escape from hell, and you think, and you feel and you hope that you're going to heaven, and you should know that you are. Some say, I hope. Well, there was a time when I talked that way. I used that word. I don't anymore. The more I study God's word, I know I'm saved. I know he loves me, and I know I'm going to heaven. Wasn't always that way. As I was growing up, I like the way Petey phrases it. You don't lose your salvation like a sock in the wash. It seemed like every week when we'd go to church on Sunday, and then that week following, and then that come back to church on Sunday, it seemed like we got to get saved all over again. No, no, that's not how it is. Do I want a closer walk with him? Yes, I do. And I should desire that every day. But not getting saved all over again. You see, that messes with your theology. It's not correct. You're not saved one day and lost the next. You need to get your theology correct. And you need to understand what the Bible teaches about salvation. One of the things we need to find out is we got to determine this origin of condemnation. I think one of the primary sources is our childhood experience. I don't know how many of you know this, but parents are appointed by the Lord to represent him to the children. Think about that. If you got small children, God expects you to be a representative of him to those children. You need to be representing him. How good of a job have you been doing in representing him? Do you get extremely angry in front of your kids and throw a temper tantrum? You think that's a good example of God? We are to be God's example to our children. I haven't been the best example. I'll be the first one to confess to you. But we're supposed to be a good example to them. So, what you've seen in your parents, supposing that your father or mother was very harsh, or maybe they were hard to please, do you know that you'll probably grow up thinking that God's hard to please too? You might grow up thinking that God's harsh too. Ever think about that? What your concept of your family, your parents, is the concept that's been formed in you as a child. And so you look at God as a hard taskmaster. He's hard to please. So you grow up getting older, you disapprove of any authority figure because it seems like you can never please them. But that's not the case. How many times have children made little crayon pictures and they didn't always stay in the line? And you looked at it and said, "Well, that's beautiful, honey. That you did a good job." And they did the best job they could do. Or did you say, "Well, you should have stayed in the lines. It could have been a lot better." How do you think you made them feel? They did the best job they could do. I'm glad our Heavenly Father doesn't act like that. I know there was a generation of families that weren't real good with encouragement or compliments. They didn't. Did you get a lot of compliments growing up, a lot of encouragement from your parents? Or was it you can do better. You can do a better job. Or did you feel like you didn't quite measure up, always trying to do better? It's not that way with our Heavenly Father. He loves you just the way you are. I wrote in a Sunday school lesson that God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. There's a big difference. He looks just for ordinary people. Anybody. Ordinary people. Maybe the money ran out when it was time for you to go to college. Maybe the other family members got to go, but you didn't. The money ran out. You never went to college. And so you feel like there's not much you can offer, but there's a lot you can offer. God wants your availability. He wants your availability. Here I am, Lord. What do you want me to do? That's what he's wanting to hear from you. Here am I. Use me. There's another reason for feeling condemnation, and it's our own sin. For some of us, the guilt becomes overwhelming, even though we have repeatedly confessed it to the Lord. We don't feel forgiven. First of all, salvation isn't based upon your feeling. It's based upon the fact that Jesus forgave you. And that's what you need to realize. It's based on that fact. We may not always feel saved, but God has forgiven you. It's especially true if it's a sin that we have committed repeatedly. And so we start listening to the devil's lies, and he whispers, "Do you really think God's going to forgive you again and again and again?" Yes, devil, he is going to forgive me again and again and again. 70 times 7, you figure it out. Always. Always. We have the Lord's promise in 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from, and I like that next word, all unrighteousness. In Micah chapter 7 and in verse 19, I marked that, I wanted to read that. We read, he will turn again, he will have compassion upon us, he will subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. How many of you remember hearing that your sins were cast into the depths of the sea? But you weren't sure that that's what the Bible said. You weren't really, you didn't know where it was, but I just read it to you. Your sins have been cast in the depths of the sea. Now, how many of you ever heard of Corrie ten Boom? You ever hear of Corrie ten Boom? You ever hear of The Hills Are Alive, The Sound of Music, based upon Corrie ten Boom's life, her biography? Corrie ten Boom said, God takes our sins, the past, the present, and the future, and he dumps them in the sea, and he puts up a sign that says, no fishing is allowed. Corrie ten Boom said that. I've heard that before, but I didn't know she was responsible for that. No fishing's allowed. Once we've confessed our sins, we have no business going back and digging them up and letting guilt hang over us like this oppressive blanket that hangs over us that we call this cloud of condemnation. We need to understand, secondly, the effects it has, this condemnation. We carry around needless guilt. And because we carry around this needless guilt, we can't become or accomplish what God desires. You know that God has promised he wanted to do many things in your life. Just remember, just like these snowflakes that you see on the walls, you are just like them. You are different. It just reminds me of some of the politicians called somebody snowflakes. I didn't mean that really. But we're like snowflakes in that fact that we are different. We're made uniquely different. God has uniquely made us very different from one another. Jesus came and he set us free. In Romans chapter 8 and 2, he set us free from sin and death so we can live fully for him. I'd like to read that. I marked it here and I'd like to read it for you. Here's what it sounds like. There's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I think one of the most damaging results of having feelings of condemnation is when we do not experience the love of God. When we're feeling constantly condemned, it doesn't allow us to really feel the love of God. Scripturally, we know that he loves us, but we just don't feel it because we see ourselves as being unworthy. And so, we're never quite sure about our relationship with the Lord. And so we're guided by fear. We're guided by fear of displeasing him or being punished. And that's why most people don't experience the love of God in their life. Why? You know God forgave you. He loves you. He forgave you. He forgave you. Why do we have so much a hard time of believing that God has forgiven you even of the future sins? Past, we have no problem believing. Present, we don't seem to have a problem. But we seem to have a problem with the future ones. Why is that? Why is that? God's forgiven us of all of them. That seems like one of the hardest things to understand or comprehend. He has forgiven you of all. Now, that doesn't give you a license to live an undisciplined life and just do whatever you want to do. No. Paul spoke of that. Do not take advantage of the grace. God's grace. I have a message about greasy grace. Some people like to, because we have grace, think that's an excuse to sin. No, it's not. No, it's not. As much as it lies within you, you need to try to do good, to live peace with all men. Don't quit working at being Christ-like. You may spend a lifetime, and that's okay, but don't ever give up wanting and desiring to be more like Jesus. Dying out to this sinful flesh. And then the next step is we need to understand that condemnation is invalid. For us who are in Christ, condemnation is not a fact. It's only a feeling. It's not a fact, it's a feeling. God loved us so much, he sent his Son to rescue us from our guilt. He bore our condemnation for sin when he hung on the cross, and he died in our place. Romans 8:3, I read it. And we've been justified, and we have been declared no longer guilty because Christ paid the full penalty for our sin. He wrote canceled on the record of all of our sins, and he nailed it to the cross. In Colossians chapter 2 and verse 14. Colossians 2 and 14. Blotted out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Even though we're living in earthly bodies, we are subject to sin. And I can tell you that our wrongs will never reverse God's legal decree. When we confess our sins to the Father, he cleanses us, he restores our fellowship with him. And if we continue in sin, he will be faithful as a loving father to discipline us, because he wishes to bring us back to himself, Hebrews chapter 12 and 7. And as his children, we'll never come under his condemnation. And then finally, I'm closing with this. We must make a choice to believe the truth rather than the feelings. God's word, as I read before, there's no condemnation, Romans 8:1, for those who are in Christ Jesus. Our emotions flow from our thoughts, so we need to fill our mind with God's truth. It might take some time, but if we'll persist, we need to read verses of the Bible about God's forgiveness and his love. And in time, hopefully, in time, our emotions will begin to align with God's word. The fact is, he loves you and he has forgiven you, past, present, and future. He wants you to live in freedom and joy. He wants you to have joy in your life. Remember, the scripture says the joy of the Lord is your what? Your strength. The enemy would like to destroy your joy, because if he can steal your joy, he feels he has accomplished in taking your strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Paul said, I've learned to give thanks in all things. It's not easy. It isn't always easy to give thanks in all things. Not easy. When I think about that, I think about David. Always comes to my mind. All the preparations they made for their new baby that him and Bathsheba had thought they were going to have. God only allowed that baby to live for 7 days. God told him a baby was going to die. God had already warned him through the prophet that that baby would die. But David thought he could change God's mind. But what David did was far more hideous than what he ever even realized. What he did, he shamed all Israel. And God said, you did it in secret, but I'm going to do it publicly. I'm going to shame you publicly. And indeed he did. His own children shamed him publicly. And the lives of his children. And the Lord said, the sword won't depart from your house. And indeed it didn't. You see, we don't get away with sin. We are forgiven of it. We are forgiven. But David's price tag was very expensive. He lost his son. He lived 7 days. And when he saw them whispering, he had prayed and fasted, thought he could change God's mind. He saw his servants whispering. He thought, well, his boy must have died. And they were afraid to tell him the news. You know, when you told King bad news, it wasn't good for you. And they were withholding. They were afraid to tell him the news. They finally told him. David said, is my boy dead? Did he die? Yes, he did. And then he said he washed himself. He put on clean clothes. And he went into the temple. And he worshiped. It reminds me of the song that Scotty sings. When everything falls apart, just praise his name. When you have a broken heart, just praise his name. When it seems like it's hardest time to praise him, that's when you want to praise him. Think about that. When it's the hardest time for you to praise him, praise him. You'll be amazed at what God can do in and through you when you praise his name, even in the hard times of life. Hallelujah. We'll take some names as we go to the Lord in prayer at this time.